Welcome to the Marcia Miyake Show, where our mission is to share thought-provoking ideas, practical tools, and tangible strategies to uplevel your life, business, and relationships. I'm your host, Marcia Miyake, leadership and emotional intelligence consultant, executive coach, and conscious mama of two. Through solo episodes and interviews with experts in the medical, research, business, and spiritual fields, this show helps you to shift from the illusion that success in one area of your life means failure in another, to the understanding that you truly get to have it all. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode, my loves. I'm so excited to share this conversation that I had with Caroline Offenstein. Caroline is a certified personal trainer, integrative health coach, and IFBB bikini pro who specializes in helping women reach their optimal health and fitness from the inside out. After her own journey of hopping from one extreme diet and fitness regime to the next, she discovered the power of manifestation and started to combine the science of health with the spiritual aspects of connecting the mind, body, and soul. Through relearning how to honor and trust her body, she has achieved a balance with fitness, food, and fun that she never thought possible, and it's her mission to help other women do the same. In this episode, Caroline shares how she went from looking healthy while punishing her body to truly being healthy while being gentle with her body. Caroline also shares the role plant medicine plays in her healing and some of the most significant insights she received while in ceremony. Hey, Caroline, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Oh, I'm so excited too. So I usually begin by asking people just to get a feel for their energy and all of that is like, what's a quote or a mantra that you live by?
Love this question. So one, I hope this counts, but one kind of, maybe it's more of like a life motto, but it is kind of a question of, have you thanked your body today? Because I feel like so many of us, you know, I work with women on nutrition and fitness and mind-body wellness. And so often when we set goals with our health and with our wellness, they sometimes unintentionally come from this place of our ego or comparison or I need to change my body to be happy. So coming back to this idea of just keeping it super simple. Have you thanked your body today for everything that it does for us constantly without us even needing to think about it? Can really bring people, myself included, this is something I definitely practice daily. It can bring us back to that state of gratitude and compassion for ourselves, and progress towards any health and wellness goal is so much more linear when we're coming from that space and that energy.
Oh, I love that. I love that because that resonates with me so much. I had, and I think a lot of women can relate. I had not the best relationship with my body and it's getting a lot better, but I agree with you. I think even when we set like New Year's goals and stuff, we're always about like losing weight and all of that. And it's always coming from, or a lot of times coming from not feeling good enough, you know, like your yes. body is not up to par with what you're seeing on social media or comparing it to, you know, when you were a teenager or a different phase of your life. And so I think that really spoke to me to bring gratitude to your body first, like look at all the things that it's doing right for you rather than nitpicking at the things that you want to change. So how did you get into this more holistic perspective? Because I know that, you know, some people take a very unidimensional approach, but your work is very layered and you really taking the whole woman into consideration, which I think is so important in creating change in our lives. So what got you to the point to be like, oh, hang on, it's not just this, it's your whole being that we need to get into alignment?
So I guess if we take it back several years, probably like six, almost 7 years ago now, I actually studied business in school. And I didn't really get into fitness until I found CrossFit when I was working in the corporate world. And I just like drank the Kool-Aid so hard. And all I wanted to do was learn about fitness and learn about nutrition. So I really started studying that. And my first approach was very extreme, right? A lot of us who get into the fitness space or even just consuming all of the fitness and nutrition information that we're thrown, a lot of it is from this lens of more is better, right? Just do more, eat less, move more. That's very common that we hear that. And that is exactly what I did when I was first getting into fitness and nutrition. I just wanted to do everything as extreme as possible. And that was kind of my personality too, honestly, until I'm almost 30. I'm like 2 weeks from turning 30. But up until I was like 28, that's just how I lived. Every area of my life was about doing as much as possible. Because that's how I always received love and acknowledgement, right? Coming back to kind of like an inner child wound that I've been working on healing. So getting into fitness, getting in nutrition, it was all about how can I do all of the 30-day challenges for like Whole 30 cleanses and things like that? And how can I CrossFit and work out so hard that literally I would burn myself out and I would injure myself? And I took a step back from CrossFit in 2018 after I had become a personal trainer, and I was coaching at that time too, and I was learning more about macronutrients at that time. So I was slightly coming away from that like super intense extreme area, but then I found bodybuilding and that almost took me to like a different place of extreme in terms of physique goals. Cause really nobody does fat loss like bodybuilders, you know, nobody gets as lean as kind of that population of people. So I really then pushed myself from the nutrition standpoint. And again, I was feeding my ego. That's what really it was about for me. That's what health and wellness was more about, ego than like longevity and sustainability, for the first several years that I was coaching and practicing. And I did really well in bodybuilding. I won my bikini pro card in 2020, kind of right before the pandemic. And so I wanted to keep pushing. I wanted to keep going because I was still receiving this external validation that I wasn't giving to myself, which now I see that in hindsight. But right when I was in it, I just wanted to keep going. As so many of us do, who we see success in a certain area. And so then we're just like, well, I should do more, right? And it wasn't until my health really started to suffer when I was competing. I had lost my period. I started dealing with like gut issues, even though I was eating really quote unquote clean. And that's when I also had some disordered eating history from my past really come back up to rear its ugly head. And I finally said, you know, enough is enough. This totally isn't sustainable for me. I'm not enjoying this anymore. And my body, like, I have a six pack and people think that I'm this picture of health only because I'm so lean, but I'm not actually healthy. I really wasn't. I wasn't healthy in the mind. I was constantly second guessing myself, and I was in this like battle, it felt like, with my body versus us being on the same page. I wasn't taking care of myself, bottom line. And so kind of in end of 2020 is when I really took a step back. And I spent, so now that's almost been, I don't know, over a year now, probably getting close to a year and a half. And I said, I'm going to take a whole year off of any type of restricting. Like, I'm going to really just focus on how can I fuel my body and how can I take care of myself. And around that time is when I really dug more into mindset practices, manifestation work, functional health. Like, how can I get my period back? How can I really take care of my gut? And it took a while. It took me almost the first full year, probably closer to like 9, 10 months But eventually, I got to a point where I was really happy with my physique. I had a regular cycle. I felt more peace and love for my body than I had ever felt before. And it was the least intense I had ever been with my nutrition and fitness. And so during this journey is when I really started to wrap my head around, like, it's not about the macros. It's not about your specific diet plan. It's not about whether you need to follow this workout program or that workout program. It's really about, how are you taking care of yourself as a whole? How are you taking care of your mind, your body, and your spirit? Not just take this magic pill, not just do this 30-day plan, but how are you actually taking care of your wellness and your health? Because it's so much more than the six-pack or the nutrition plan or whatever it may be. So we can totally dig into parts of that too. Manifestation was a huge part. Man. And medicine was a huge part. Yeah.
Oh, I loved your story. Thank you so much for sharing. And congratulations first on your successes, because it takes discipline and, you know, dedication to reach the goals that you achieved. But what I love that you're sharing and what I'm hearing is that you were chasing that external validation that you hadn't given to yourself. And for a long time it was working until your body basically was screaming, no, we can't do this anymore. And it's so interesting how a lot of us need to get to that point. You know, it's like for you, it was your body. For me, it was, you know, like hitting a different type of rock bottom. So I love that you shared that, because I think so many people can relate to this like striving mentality. And also you said up until the age of 28, you were very much in your masculine of the doing more is more, right? Like if you want to get leaner, you need to hit the gym more, you need to eat less. And a very 3D recipe for getting the results that we want. And at the end of the day, when you are not taking into account all the aspects of you, like your emotional well-being, your psychological well-being, your spiritual well-being, you will get burnt out, which is what happened to you. You had the physical burnout of your body just saying like, this isn't working. And I'm just so proud of you for coming back from that and be like focusing on what truly matters. And that was like your overall well-being. So I know you said that there's a lot of parts that contributed to getting you back back on course to really loving your body. And you said, now you love yourself more. I think this is really important. You love your body more. You love your physique more. You feel better. You're overall just a happier person, but you're a lot less regimented than you were when you were, you know, doing all the things. So what was that first step for you? Like what was the first thing that you did when you were just like, I can't do this, aside from taking the break from everything? What was the first thing?
I think one of the first things I did was really scale back my training, because I was doing like hours of cardio, super intense about tracking my steps, working out hard, lifting weights 5 days a week. And then additionally, like as soon as I took a step back from competing, I started doing pole dance fitness because I knew it would be hard for me to see my body change in the reverse way, because I needed to put body fat on. There was no way I could stay that lean and be healthy. So I had also started doing pole dance and I was like, this is too much. Like this is so much time and I'm constantly tired. Like I didn't have time for my relationship and other things in my life. So one of the first things I did was decrease the intensity there. And I was recently in Peru, which we can definitely get into. And this became really clear to me, this kind of analogy, as I met someone who reminded me of myself like 3 years ago. And what I realized I had been doing is being at like 100% in all of these areas of my life. And then running around in circles being like, why do I always feel like I'm at 110% and I'm always tired and exhausted and I'm always stressed out? And I realized, like literally last week, this finally dawned on me. I'm a work in progress, right? We all are. But I realized that's like someone having the volume turned up in every area of their life, right? In their career, in their fitness, in their nutrition, in their relationship. And they're always at maxing out the volume on the stereo. And then they're walking around in a circle like, why is it always so loud? I'm like, oh my gosh, you just have to start turning down the volume in some of these areas of your life. And so the first one for me that I picked was fitness. And I think I kind of just slowly started turning down all the intensity in each area of my life.
Ooh, I love that. That analogy is so good. It's so good. And I think when you get to a point of saying, because I'm a very big believer in like having it all, whatever it all means to you, you know, for some people, it's like a career and a family. For some people, it's like financial success, career and traveling, you know, it's different for every person. But I really advocate the idea that you can have it all. And when the thing is, when we believe that and when we go for that, but we're not masterful at managing things like managing our emotions, managing our energy levels, all of that, what people do is they turn the volume up in everything because they're like, I can have it all. And then they burn out because it just becomes overwhelming and they're becoming deaf. And then they're like, oh, it's not possible to have it all. Rather than understanding, it's actually, there's going to be a time when you can turn the volume up in your relationship. And then there's going to be time when, you know, you have to turn the volume up in your business. And it's kind of like you're, is it a DJ or I don't know, someone that manages yeah. of turning it up and down. But you can still get the results that you want. You just need to get more masterful working the volume, not eliminating whole parts of it. Because fitness and all that is still very much a part of your life. You've just changed the type of music that you're listening to and the volume at times. So I love that analogy. It's so good. So
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So I've been dying to ask you, because I know you went to Peru, and I always feel like people that really not just do plant medicine, but also do the work, right? Because when you're doing the work and then you do plant medicine, I feel like we're kindred spirits. It's like, we understand that we're here in this like beautiful evolution and development of our lives. And so I'm really interested to know how you got into that whole space.
Yeah. So the Peru trip was really big for me. And this, I haven't even done a podcast episode on my own show about it. So this is the first I get to talk about it, which is really exciting. How I got into plant medicine. I mean, I guess it started like recreationally, like probably many of us do in my kind of college years, I suppose. And it wasn't until I started studying more mindfulness techniques that I'm like, you know what? This really interests me. Like, I can get into a deep meditative state. I really enjoy hypnotherapy and like self-hypnosis sessions. What other kind of expanded states of consciousness can I explore? And I wanted to kind of dip my toe. So a couple years ago, I started microdosing psilocybin just to kind of see, like, did I notice a difference? You know, I'm a big fan of alternative kind of naturopathic medicine. So would this help me feel less stressed? Like you mentioned, I've been in my masculine energy. I've really, really been practicing coming back to my feminine energy. Like, would microdosing help with that? And I have really enjoyed that practice. And I just kind of started learning more and more, like connecting with communities who work with these medicines, learning from indigenous practices. Obviously, we need to give credit that these practices have been, these plants have been used as medicine for thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of years before us. So kind of learning about the deeper tradition behind them as well. And then, let's see, almost a year ago now, last year for my birthday, I did a larger journey with psilocybin, with mushrooms, with a guide. We worked one-on-one, so she was there supporting me the whole time. And that was life-changing for me. That led to a lot of transformation in my personal life and my business over 2021. And I, after that experience, it was, I shouldn't like sugarcoat it like that because it was very much highs and lows. I was confronted with things that were really, really hard for me. But then I also was gifted with some very beautiful realizations. And so after that, I was totally hooked. I was like, I want to carve out time for this as like deep personal self work at least a couple times a year. And then, like you said, also incorporate that with integration, because you can have this, you can have any type of incredible life experience, but if you don't bring back what you learned into your daily life, what's the point? So integrating and spending time, like choosing a couple, I like to kind of choose a couple main themes anytime I do a practice like this and decide, okay, how can I now build this into my daily routine? So that was a lot of my work in 2021. And then I also ended up that summer sitting with Bufo, which is also known as like toad medicine or 5-MeO-DMT. And that was very different and really intense, but allowed me to meet even more people in this community. And that is how I was then invited to an ayahuasca sanctuary in Peru that I like literally just got home from. So I was there over the new year. And it was definitely the most challenging 2 weeks of my life. And I'm still processing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But I'm really excited. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So how many days did you sit with ayahuasca while you were in Peru this journey?
So we were supposed to do 5 ceremonies in 9 days, and we ended up only doing 4 because half of our group got COVID.
While
we were isolated in the jungle in the middle of nowhere.
Oh my
myself included.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
It was wild.
So going back to, you said that you started just kind of like experimenting. I think a lot of people did do that. For me, it was in high school. And I didn't have a great experience with mushrooms. So I was like traumatized. I like never wanted to do it again. And then kind of didn't get into it until more like recently. So what was your experience with Bufo like?
It was, I did a whole, for anyone who's like, what are you guys talking about or really wants detail, I did a whole podcast episode on my own podcast about the ceremony because it was just wildly different than anything I had experienced.
And we'll link that episode. We'll link that episode as well in the show notes. Yeah.
Great. And the guide that I worked with, again, just like another amazing human being, and how he kind of sets up his sessions are with 3 short doses, if you will. So I was able to kind of go in 3 times and they were short, like 15 minutes until you're back to total lucid speaking and thinking. One thing that also came up with me during my ayahuasca ceremonies, so it's clearly an area of me to focus on, is this force, this effortfulness, this trying really hard. So again, coming back to the masculine energy and my whole fitness history, I have really been practicing, you know, how do I come back to being versus doing? How do I come back to finding what just feels good and feels right? And my intuition, right? Our deep, that deep inner knowing that we all have that I think I really lost touch with for a long time. And I have definitely been using my fitness and nutrition to support bringing back my intuition as well. And that was really apparent in Toad because the first 2 times I went in, there was this whole body like tension, especially in my jaw. My jaw hurt so badly. And it was the thoughts racing through my head were like, you better remember everything perfectly. Like, make sure you're taking in all of these visuals, check your breathing, make sure you're doing your mantra right. Like, just this total perfectionist checklist while I'm like in outer space, basically. So
that's so profound.
Yeah.
That's huge. There's a point I want to make on this conversation that I'm having with Caroline right now, because one, I think people look at plant medicine like it's this, like, it's just going to be this transformational thing. And it certainly can be. But the conversation that we're having right now, you can see that she has really integrated and really decided to take on the lessons, because there are people that do ayahuasca and they're like, that was not that, I felt nothing. There are people that are guided with trained facilitators and do psilocybin and like, oh, nothing came up. So you have to be willing to look at what's in front of you. So for example, if you weren't really ready to integrate and you really weren't ready to heal and learn, you probably wouldn't have even remembered that that all of that was happening, and you wouldn't have taken that lesson. So I think that's so important for people who want to try plant medicine. I have so many people reach out to me. They're like, well, can you tell me about it? Like, I definitely want to do it. And I think it's the one thing that, you know, as people who have, you know, a little bit of experience in at least trying it, it's that have the willingness to, as you said, integrate, have the willingness to really look at what came up for you. And even in you saying like, oh, you know, I just was in Peru, and you're still integrating that, like, yeah, you're choosing to take that time to be like, holy crap, that was totally crazy. Every experience is different and every integration is different, and you have to honor that time, and you have to like honor that. Cause like the second time I did ayahuasca, I was like, I'm going to do a podcast right after. I did a podcast, I think a couple weeks after I did the first time, and I literally had nothing to say because my integration was so long. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I promised everybody a podcast and I don't even know what to say. I had a really tough integration my second sitting. So I think that's really important, because I think plant medicine has been brought to the forefront a lot, and it's like kind of trendy at the moment. And I think we have to, as you said, Caroline, be really respectful of the indigenous people who have been working with these medicines for thousands and thousands of years, and that like, we're not going to just get high. Like, you're not going to just trip out on mushrooms. And I think like that was a trigger for me that I've had to like examine even in the last couple of weeks, because I have friends that do it recreationally. And I guess if I hadn't done so much work and so have so much reverence for the people that do it as their spiritual practice, I'm like, oh, it's so disrespectful to the medicine. It's so disrespectful to people that have been using this as a healing thing. And I get it. We're all on our evolution, and hopefully they'll get to a point where they realize it's not recreational and it's sacred. And it's not just so that you can get high. It's like abusing something so sacred. So I think that's what I wanted to add, just about bringing a level of love and respect for the medicine. And also, like, just because Caroline's sharing her experience and how she had these like profound epiphanies, that may not be your experience going in.
Yeah, such a good point to make. Like, every experience I have ever had with any psychedelic is like so different. And I think you're right. I think if I would have been in a different space, or with different people, or in a different mindset, I maybe would have just come out of that second dose like, this sucks. I'm frustrated. But I sat with it. And that's, you know, gosh, you can use lessons, you can apply this lesson to any area of your life, but can you sit with the discomfort? And can you learn from it versus throwing up your hands? And, you know, that's something that comes up for me and the clients that I work with all the time, is like, oh, you just want to skip to the end? You don't, though, because even though a lot of us think that, because we're like, this is uncomfortable, I don't know if I want to take this route. Like, can I go back to the safe, familiar route? Where is that going to get you? And if you skip the uncomfortable route just to get to the end, you don't get to say, I did it then. There's nothing to celebrate, because you probably didn't really grow. So that's something that plant medicines have really, really helped me with too, is you might sit through some really uncomfortable times. And can you come back to your breath? Can you come back to your body and connect with your body? And can you learn from it? Because there's probably discomfort there to help you.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And what I see a lot, and this is just like globally, I see we spiritually bypass and we emotionally bypass. Like, we don't want to experience the negative emotion because we've been programmed not to experience or at least express the negative emotion. So we want to skip through that. And what I personally love about plant medicine, especially my experience that I've had with ayahuasca, is you can't bypass that. There was periods of my journeys, with both of my journeys, where I was like, just like doing anything I could to move my focus, to make myself comfortable again. But it was like a banging of tension and pressure and just noise, like loud, like screeching noise. And I couldn't escape that. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I have to go back to what I like to preach to others. It's like, if this situation were to last forever, who would I need to be, or what skill would I need to develop? And I was like, wow, I'd have to just learn to be at peace despite the madness that's in my head right now. And that was one of the most profound things I got from my first ceremony, was because it was a nightmare and I was terrified, and I would have given my right arm to get out of that situation. And that's the beauty of ayahuasca. You might want to, the medicine doesn't give you what you want. It gives you what you need. So even if you go in there with full intention of, this is what I want to achieve, that it will give you something different, but it will be incredibly healing if you allow it to be. So I think that, yeah, I really love that. You have to be willing to move through the emotion and not skip to the good part.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like how you phrase that. And I think you hit on a really good point that a lot of us do disconnect in so many areas of our life. And that's really what I spent the last year to 2 years doing, is this process of reconnecting with my body, because that was an area I totally shut off. But I think a lot of us disconnect with emotion in so many ways, or we disconnect with our intuition, or we disconnect with trust, deep inner trust in ourself. So obviously, plant medicine can be a great tool to come back to that. But even such simple things as, like, one non-negotiable I have for all my clients, I call them mellow moments. And the idea is to, you know, you can start with 5 minutes, but I like to recommend working up to 15 minutes where you just don't really do anything. You can meditate if you want to meditate. You could journal. You could sit and look out your kitchen window and watch the birds for 15 minutes. But the idea is to bring some stillness and some calm and some peace back into your day. Because I think a lot of that disconnection comes from that toxic masculine energy of doing and achieving and blocking things out just so that you can go down that paved road and just go faster.
Yeah, I love that. And I think one of the reasons we can't like sit still and we have to keep busy, like for us, like I resonated a lot with your story of like the doing, and like I had to keep myself busy and achieving, because if I sat still and was really present with myself, well, then I'd have to face this wounded little girl, and I don't want to look at her. That's painful to look at her. So I would rather just keep busy, keep achieving and chasing these really, in the end, what felt like hollow victories, because it would never fulfilled me, because I was chasing, right? I was chasing something external that I should have been giving to myself. So look, I love the work that you do because you take a holistic perspective, in that you're saying that your health goals are dependent on your mindset, your overall well-being, the level of healing you've done, as well as your nutrition, your fitness, all of that. And I think that that's really important. Once we recognize that all of those parts matter, then we can achieve the life that we want. Otherwise, we're always going to experience this like friction and something is going to feel out of alignment because we're like basically denying a piece of ourselves. And so when I talk to like holistic practitioners who look at everything, I think that's, it's something that I feel is not really in the forefront of the medical field. And so when I see practitioners having this approach, I get really excited because I feel like more women and men obviously too, but need to have access to people who can support them where they're not going to keep like bumping their head and being like, I don't understand. I'm doing all of this things on this checklist for my health or my physique, but it's like, okay, well, do you have really horrible self-talk? Like, do you have some trauma that you haven't resolved? Like, are you just overly busy? All of those things. So, Caroline, thank you so much for making the time to be on our show today. I love the conversation. I would love to have you back to talk more specifically about the health side of things, like the physical health yes. side of things.
Yeah.
But I really just wanted to, I'm like, you knew I wanted to jam on about,
yes,
about plant medicine because I'm always so curious. And thank you so much for sharing your story. I'll have the link to the podcast episode about Bufo because I think that's a really, I don't know if we have that available in Australia, but there's people in North America that facilitates.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good question because the specific toad, I would think maybe there is one in Australia, but they do live in, I know they live in South America, they live in North America. But yeah, that's
well, they live in North America too. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll get everyone to listen to that episode. I'm really curious about that one too. And how can people get in touch with you?
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And this was really fun too, even though we took a random route, I really, really enjoyed it. So thank you. And the best place to find me is on Instagram, which my username is just my name at Caroline Offenstein. And then definitely the podcast. I aim to also do episodes every week. So check that out. And then I love kind of what you said about holistic practice and how it can come down to self-talk and your beliefs. And I actually do also have a free 3-part workshop that is all about exactly that and why you don't really need more willpower or more motivation and what truly fuels success is a layer deeper than that.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today. If you love this episode, please share it with someone. And if you're a longtime listener, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would rate and review this show on iTunes. I love you so much, and I can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. And remember, it's not only possible to have it all, it is your birthright.